Good morning. It's a Thursday morning. We're with our political observer, Alan Chartok. Let's start with U.S. daily cases of COVID-19 set record as virus surges in South and West. Four states reported highest single-day totals. That's Florida, Texas, Oklahoma, and South Carolina, with Florida reporting a new daily high of more than 5,500 cases. Houston's hospitals are running out of beds. Intensive care units in the city are filled to 97% capacity, according to the mayor there. And we see, with Governor Cuomo in the lead, New York, New Jersey, and Connecticut are imposing quarantines on visitors from states with these big outbreaks. Quite a contradistinction, in fact, when you look at New York and some of the other states that were more safely locked down compared with those that have not followed the rules.
David, this is a very scary situation. Everybody should be frightened. And frankly, I know an awful lot of people who are not being properly precautious with putting masks on and doing what they should be. Look, Cuomo led the way, you're right. Massachusetts is doing really well right now. New York is doing well. Nevertheless, people are being stupid. And you've got to wear the mask, and you've got to wear it all the time. And we all see people who don't do that. We go to the supermarkets, and it's not there. Look, the one way to prevent this, we know, is to wear the mask, is to socially distance. We've all heard it so many times, it's coming out of our ears. Nevertheless, it's true. And if it's a matter of life and death, anybody who doesn't listen is really making a big mistake. And I think all of us have to be very, very cautious about how we proceed right now. I know in my little town of Great Barrington, they're opening the wonderful railroad street. You can sit at tables, but if you're going to sit there, you should be sitting there with a mask, because somebody's certainly going to pass you. So let's not get obnoxious about this. Let's start thinking the way we should. This is going to cause a lot of people to die. And what we're finding now is that while the demographic used to be older people, an awful lot of younger people who were being, frankly, obnoxious about the whole thing and not cautious are really putting themselves at great risk.
At the same time, you have the top leadership in the United States. One, President Trump, here from the New York Times, Nicholas Kristof, is feeding America's coronavirus nightmare. Quote, it's going away only in the president's delusion. And from the Washington Post this morning, Alan, Vice President Pence urging GOP senators to focus on, quote, encouraging signs as virus cases spike.
Well, Pence takes his orders from the president. This is a president who is so vitriolic and who can shift on a dime on any person or thing. Pence knows that. Pence knows that he has everything to gain by staying in as vice president, and whatever the president tells him to do, he's going to do. He's going to follow that line. It is exactly the kind of leadership you don't need, because that's not what a leader is. A leader is somebody who philosophically understands what's right and leads people in the right direction, even if it's costly to them personally or politically.
And the part of this that we haven't seen the full effect yet is the economic impact, Alan. We're seeing in the business update this morning, U.S. jobless claims expected to top 1 million. Economists expect 1.3 million new state unemployment claims. The issue of how long can, for example, you keep businesses shut down, and the ripple effect from that also hurts a lot of people.
You know, David, I've been watching, as many people have, the stock market, and many people are saying, you know, the stock market is not the economy. That's right. But every so often, some people wake up down there on the stock market and they rub their eyes and say, whoa, and you see this dramatic drift down, maybe 500 points, maybe 600 points, and then you start to climb your way back. But what happens is the market takes a look at exactly what you're talking about. It looks at the fact that so many people are out of work, that so many businesses are closed down, that there are going to be major repercussions as a result of all of this, and that's exactly what's happening.
Let's turn to race in America. Suspects in Ahmaud Arbery's killing are indicted on murder charges. The three white men accused of killing Mr. Arbery, a black man who was chased while jogging in their neighborhood, were each indicted on 9 counts. Side by side from the AP this morning, police overhaul Dems, but House Democrats push ahead on vote. Doesn't this, if you're going to change the system, come down to legislation in many ways, Alan?
It does. It also is determination. You know, prosecutors have a tough job. You got 12 people sitting there. One person turns out to be a closet racist or something, and they say, no, I'm not going to vote for this because I might have used a gun myself if I saw somebody running through the neighborhood. It's disgusting. And the fact is that it's going to be a tough road. 9 counts is a lot. And this is a horrible story. You know, the idea that these people would shoot down somebody in cold blood without authorization, without having a badge, is just beyond anything that we could possibly believe. So the issue with police has been, do they act incorrectly? Do they shoot when they shouldn't? But they're police, and, you know, they have a certain amount of protection, deserved or not. And I think in most cases that they've been acting, it is not deserved. But when you get a couple of people who see somebody go into a house and say, get your guns, and unload on them, it is reprehensible to the highest order.
The Justice Department officials, Alan, are outlining claims of politicization under William Barr, the Attorney General. The political appointees intervened in law enforcement to advance the interest of President Trump and Attorney General William Barr, officials say. This next to the headline, appeals court panel orders end to Michael Flynn case.
This is why Mitch McConnell has been paying so much attention to getting federal judges in the courts, and they have been succeeding in appointing huge numbers. Now, it's one thing to appoint a conservative judge. It is another to appoint a political judge who will do anything, whatever their masters are telling them. And that, unfortunately, looks like is what is happening now. It's awful.
Our political observer, Alan Schar, talk with us. Thank you, as always.
And thank you, David. I know you're up before the stars disappear, and we all appreciate your hard work.
That's why I love that coffee bean.